So welcome everybody to Milwaukee Mennonite Church on what's now turned out to be, just here in Sun Prairie, a beautiful Sunday, September 13th, 2020. And the first song that we're going to listen to today is something that's going to be quite familiar to, I think, a lot of us folks.
My life flows on in endless song above.
So again, welcome to Milwaukee Mennonite Church on today, September 13th, 2020. You'll notice that maybe a couple of elements on this first slide here look a little bit similar and yet different from what you're used to, and also color-wise. What I'm going to be focusing on today, and actually sort of a theme that we're going to be revisiting throughout the fall, is anticipating the release of the new hymnal for MCUSA and MC Canada. It's known as Voices Together. And that's the logo down there in the bottom. And that one of the symbols that's been selected by the Voices Together editorial team is the gold dove that you also see here. So obviously it looks a lot like the symbol for MCUSA and MC Canada, but this is the specific logo that was selected for Voices Together. And if you look real close, you'll notice that the font color that I'm going to be using, that's on this slide, I'm going to be using throughout today, is not black. It's actually the deep purple. That's the second color aside from gold that Voices Together is going to be using. So we're going to be starting off with a kind of a prayer today, which is actually the text to the hymn that's going to be number one in the new hymnal. And so we're going to be, my reflection is going to be centered around that. We'll be listening to musical versions of the tune, which will be familiar, and really reflecting on the text, on the content of it. And it, of course, it's kind of hard when we're listening to music or when we're actually singing music or say playing an instrument when somebody else is singing. It's a little bit sort of like, you know, walking and chewing gum at the same time. It's sort of hard to focus on a couple things at once. And so what I've decided to do, see how this works, and you can share in the sharing time, see how what the effect is on you, but to really kind of focus on the words and then focus on the music, not actually sing it together until we're gathered back in person. So I'm going to ask you to, I'll read this and then read this along with me. I've selected some images that go along with the content. The song, we'll hear the tune later on. You'll recognize the tune as being a quite familiar one. But the text itself, summoned by the God who made us, is one that's brand new. So I'll be sharing in my reflection a good bit of the new hymnal Voices Together is drawn from the familiar song books that we've been working with. So obviously the Blue Hymnal, and then Sing the Story and Sing the Journey. So a lot of those golden oldies or favorites that we've had for many years are included in Voices Together. But it's exciting because there are a lot of new things that are included as well. And number one is we're going through the five verses of it. We'll read this together, although it'd be probably best if you keep your own microphone muted, that you'll notice that the second stanza here is always going to be repeated song. But it kind of works nicely in terms of a prayer. When we think of prayers of intercession, it's like, Lord, hear our prayer. It's kind of a nice way of sort of revisiting the overall sense. It has a kind of psalmic sort of feel to it if we read it this way. So we'll just read this together now and reflect on the words. Summoned by the God who made us rich in our diversity, gathered in the name of Jesus, richer still in unity. Let us bring the gifts that differ and, in splendid, varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Radiant from the risen from the water, robed in holiness and light, male and female in God's image, male and female, God's delight. Let us bring the gifts that differ and in splendid, varied ways sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Trust the goodness of creation. Trust the spirit strong within. Dare to dream the vision promised, sprung from the seed of what has been. Let us bring the gifts that differ, and in splendid, varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Bring the hopes of every nation. Bring the art of every race. Weave a song of peace and justice. Let it sound through time and space. Let us bring the gifts that differ, and in splendid, varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Draw together at one table all the human family. Shape a circle ever wider and a people ever free. Let us bring the gifts that differ and in splendid, varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. So those are the five verses of Summoned by the God Who Made Us, which is going to be the number one, the hymn numbered number one in the new hymnal Voices Together that's going to be released this fall. So now we're going to move into a time of hearing some scripture, and I'm going to invite Ben to read Psalm 100. And just actually before Ben, sorry to interrupt here, but to before Ben reads this, just to say that this is a psalm that has been cited by the editorial team for Voices Together as one that's kind of guided, inspired them throughout the very, very long, hardworking, but very rewarding process of putting the new hymnal together.
Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into the Lord's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is the Lord. We are the Lord's people and the sheep of the Lord's pasture. Enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and the Lord's courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord, bless the Lord's name. For the Lord is good. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever, and the Lord's faithfulness to all generations.
Right. I'm going to be going against my sort of, I won't say better judgment, but best advice when it comes to Zoom. I've hesitated ever using videos. I mean, audio seems to work pretty well when it's built into PowerPoint slides, but videos, it looks like claymation figures sometimes. But actually, I'm going to be sharing, I think the audio should be great. The video is actually not a video, but it's just simply images that are going to be scrolling along. This is another song. You'll recognize it right away. That's also being incorporated into Voices Together. But it's one that is not, that has not been drawn from either the blue hymnal, Sing the Journey or Sing the Story, but it's something that I think is nonetheless going to be very, very familiar to you. And the singer is somebody who played a very, very important role in the civil rights movement as a very, very gifted artist and musician. And you may recognize her name too. It's a song that was used in many ways as a kind of an anthem for many folks in the civil rights movement.
There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yes, there's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May we know that together. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. There's a little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light is a light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, shine, shine.
I think it's a safe assumption to that most people are familiar with that song. And as I say, that's going to be one of the new songs that's incorporated into Voices Together, our new hymnal. So now we move into a time of confessing and reconciling. And if you would read the bold part that's indicated by people, and then I'll read the leader, and then we'll move through this together. This is taken from the blue hymnal. Lord God, for this reason, ever since we have heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, we have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in our prayers. We keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know God better. Amen. So now I'm going to share some thoughts with you today that deal with our fall theme of worship, which is celebrating the appearance of Voices Together. And this is what it's going to look like. We don't know exactly when it's going to be coming up, but we do know that it's going to be appearing this fall. There's going to be a special launch party, a celebration, November 12th. It's going to be in the middle of the day. It's a two-hour celebration, and we'll be publicizing that through our listserv as we get closer. But this is what it's going to look like. It's about 100 pages longer than our blue hymnal. It doesn't look that thick. And when I say 1,000 pages, it sounds like, oh my gosh, why isn't that as big as like an encyclopedia? Well, if you take a look at the blue hymnal, a copy of right here, because it's got that sort of almost onion skin paper that Bibles are often printed on. And so it's a lot thinner paper. So it's not going to feel too much heavier than the blue hymnal. It's going to have that beautiful rich purple color, but it is expanded. And if you consider that it's including a lot of oldies and goodies from the blue hymnal and Sing the Story and Sing the Journey, as well as a lot of new songs, as well as worship resources. So it's like also like the blue hymnal, and it's got a lot of worship resources and aids for various prayers and special ceremonies and shares things to share and reflections, all kinds of goodies that are going to be located in Voices Together. We're going to be sort of unrolling this in some ways by featuring a hymn that's going to be the theme hymn for the months of September, October, and November. And Summoned by the God Who Made Us, the number one that I'm focusing on today, is also the theme hymn that we're going to be celebrating the next couple of Sundays, the rest of the Sundays in September. So the next worship services will also incorporate it in various ways. I'm kind of interested in history and interested in the history of music in particular. And so I was kind of curious to sort of trace the path within the Anabaptist Christian tradition about music and specifically vocal music. And it was interesting, I was reading in this one essay that talked about the earliest Anabaptists, and as you probably know, we're kind of entering into the 500th anniversary of the Anabaptist movement. It's officially sort of marked in the January 21st, 1525, with the baptizing or rebaptizing, depending on how you looked at it, of family members associated with Conrad Grebel, George Blaurock, and Felix Mantz in Zurich, Switzerland. After many years of conflict and disputation with the established church in Zurich, which was the Reformed Church, the Swiss Reformed Church. And the earliest Anabaptists had some interesting views on vocal music. And a lot of them were kind of taken over from the Swiss Reformed Church, which is in the Reformed Church, if you think about that, is often associated with Calvinism. John Calvin was an important church reformer who was originally from France, grew up in France, was educated in France, but made his sort of base of operations during the Reformation in Geneva, Switzerland, just over the border. Figures in Central Europe, you've got obviously Martin Luther and John Calvin, and in Switzerland, Ulrich Zwingli. And among those three, Calvin and Zwingli shared this notion that vocal music and certainly instrumental music in worship was probably not a good thing. Because they say what they all shared in common as reformers was the concern to really emphasize the word of God and the authority of the Bible. They were tired of believers being distracted by a lot of externals, including things like church laws and rules and regulations and various cultural things, church teachings in some ways. Especially in sort of a Baroque expression, was something that distracted from people's main purpose of worship, which was to focus on the word of God. And so it wasn't a surprise that many of them absolutely rejected the use of musical instruments, but they also felt that even actually singing in church was something that they were not comfortable with. And very soon, as the Anabaptist movement was getting underway, and there were some very, very heady days of persecution, and these three early Anabaptist leaders, Conrad Grebel, George Blaurock, and Felix Mantz, all three of them were imprisoned and tortured at various times. Two of them were martyred, one was burned at the stake, the other was thrown into the river right in downtown Zurich. And Conrad Grebel was actually able to escape and died a somewhat natural death, but he had been on the run and he had been, you know, suffered a lot of privations as being tortured, but did die of the plague at his sister's home somewhere in Switzerland. But Conrad Grebel in particular was the one that was fairly outspoken about saying, it's like, you know, I'm not sure that having vocal music as part of worship is something that's really appropriate. We should really just focus on the word of God. But during this time of persecution, and this is not just legendary, this is actually true, many, many Anabaptists, and these included not just simply males, but also females, and in some cases, young people, children, it was mainly adults, that they sang to their deaths, and that they were imprisoned for many years before that. This image that you see on this slide here is taken from a prison that is no longer used as a prison. It's a sort of a municipal building that's located in Passau, Germany, which is in sort of southeastern Germany, located very close to the Czech border. And among the many spots throughout German-speaking and Dutch-speaking Central Europe, there were a lot of Anabaptists locked up for, just simply the crime of being an Anabaptist. And there's story after story after story of Anabaptists singing to keep their spirits up and singing literally as they're being taken away to their deaths. So music established itself, and specifically vocal music established itself very, very early in the Anabaptist tradition, sort of contrary to maybe some theological concerns, as a very, very important expression of keeping one's faith. And in fact, the oldest Christian, not even just Anabaptist hymnal, but the oldest Christian hymnal in continuous use in the world is the one that's still used today by the Old Order Amish. That's the Ausbund. And you can see the title page there. This was published for the first time in 1564. This image is taken from a copy of it from 1785. And it's believed that most of the songs that are included in this very, very thick songbook had been sung by at various points by Anabaptists who were imprisoned in that church tower right on the left there. And if those of you that can maybe decipher the German, you can just sort of see down in the middle there, it says uses the word, the name Basau. Basau, that's the name of the city where that prison tower is located. And so the Amish actually have the clearest through line to the earliest form of Anabaptist singing. It's still preserved today. So, and we'll be listening to a clip in just a moment of just a very short 1 minute clip of from an older Amish hymn that gives us probably the clearest sound that we could hear from the 16th century, from the earliest days when Anabaptists were singing. And they were typically, they were not worshiping in houses of worship, they were worshiping in homes, they were worshiping often in secret, they were worshiping in caves, they were worshiping out in clearings, and they were singing together from dungeons. And part of the early Anabaptist, the description of how the early Anabaptist practice of actually singing very, very slowly, which we'll hear in a moment, was described here by an Amish historian who passed away not that many years ago from Lancaster County. His name is Benuel Blank. And he's written a book actually just on the history of this hymnal, the Ausbund. I thought I'd share just a couple of lines from him that sort of describe the use of vocal music by the earliest Anabaptists. The first Anabaptists would never have used tunes with a foot tapping or hand clapping beat for worship. The people in the upper floors of the Passau Oberhaus would not have been able to mockingly dance or clap to the singing they heard coming from the dungeon below them. The fast type of tunes were considered by Anabaptists as dancing tunes, not proper for the worship of God. The first Anabaptists considered singing in God's worship not as a way to win praises for a select few who had a talent for singing, but, quote, as a way to open up the silence as light opens the darkness. This singing has been credited with, quote, preserving the sanity and soundness of mind and of having nourished the hearts of a people in persecution. And I'm just going to give you a very, very small sample, just 1 minute. It should be the first line of the first verse that I've given here from this hymnal, from the Ausbund. And this is kind of an important tune because it's sung by in every single Amish church service every Sunday. So people often say you can set your watch, depending on your time zone, to when people are kind of in sync with one another in Amish communities. And it's a way of just sort of feeling this kind of unity. There can be a lot of other variations as far as the songs that are sung and sometimes the tunes that they are set to. But this is the standard. This is the one that everybody sings. And even though there are slight variations of the actual melody that's sung, which goes back early to an early Lutheran hymn, it's something that is still recognizable by everybody. So it's like different dialects, but it's the same basic language. And so we're going to listen to a recording that was made in Kelowna, Iowa, with the permission of the congregation. So it's not a surreptitious recording that gives us a sense of how vocal music would have sounded in those very earliest days. Oh. Groups have moved in a linear direction forward. So the Amish have preserved tunes like that, sung in the style that their spiritual ancestors would have sung going back, now about 500 years. But even the Amish adapt and change. And the vast majority of the Amish live, 98% of the Amish live in the United States of America. The rest live in Canada, and they're in just a couple of tiny pockets down in Latin America, a small group in Belize and a small group in Argentina. Next minute-long clip I'm going to play from you is from exactly the same congregation, but it's a singing. So it's young people, but also married folks are there as well. But it's sort of like the opportunity when young people are half on Sunday evenings after the worship service to gather together. And what we're going to hear is actually all the lines of this verse here sung to an American gospel tune. In the 19th century, American gospel music, which is in English, had a profound influence on Anabaptists in this country, including the Amish. And so the tune, the song itself is not all that familiar necessarily to a lot of Christians today, and it's actually not something I was really hoping for kind of symmetries and beauty's sake to that it would be also incorporated into Voices Together, but it's not. But it's a gospel hymn that's called The Great Physician. Still somewhat slower than maybe kind of some of the jazzier tunes that, or the jazzier tempi that people would have sung the song to, but it's basically listening to 19th century American gospel music, but a little bit of facts and figures about Voices Together. It's not going to be 100% in German. It's not even going to be substantially in German, but it's got 23 songs that are in German that include the Loblied, the Lobgesang, which is actually in our blue hymnal. So it's that first slow tune that we heard, the same text there, but it's in the German original. 42 languages are represented. And if you remember, there's words like diversity and being varied and all kinds of, you know, welcoming people that differ. That's sort of the and we'll be revisiting the words of summoned by the God who made us in just a moment. But part of evoking the sort of universality of the Christian faith and certainly the international outlook beyond Central Europe and even Central Europe and North America that the Anabaptist family of churches has spanned. There are 42 different languages that are represented here. So English, not surprisingly, is the number one, second Spanish, then German third, and then French and Latin, all right, to the tip of the hat to the earlier church, pre-Reformation traditions, also with 13 songs. But all the way from American Sign Language, three songs into that. That'll be interesting to see how we can maybe incorporate that into our worship as well. I'm excited about that, all the way down to Zulu. So there's 42 languages that are going to be represented. This is a chart that shows the tunes and the texts and the origins, and not a whole lot from the 15th, 16th, or 17th centuries, right, as you can see there, although there are 11 that go back to the 4th century BC, at least on the text side, not on the tune side. But the vast majority, both the tunes and the texts, are coming from the 20th century, right? But there are a number of things that are new compositions, and including, I believe, Connie has a song in there, so that would be considered a 21st century tune. But then also a lot from the 19th century, some from the 18th century, right? And then some that are not dated. So it's something that definitely favors the kind of the recent decades, if not centuries, sort of following the march of time. Where do they come from? Well, the vast majority are coming from the sort of the hymnal worship book, but then a number from the Sing the Journey or Sing the Story. There are a few other sort of blends there. So if you look at that sort of gold colored pie piece up in the upper right, the text or the tune is taken from one of the familiar songs, but maybe the tune has been you take the tune and then you switch out the text, or you take the text and then switch out the tune for that. So it's, again, still something that's going to be familiar. And then I believe the Mennonite hymnal, I'm not sure about that tradition. I can't remember whether that was associated with the Mennonite Brethren movement, but that's an older hymnal that's a forerunner in any case to the Blue Hymnal. And those are things that were not incorporated into the Blue Hymnal, but were in a sense being brought back from the Mennonite hymnal. But a good chunk of them, right? So out of the 700 plus songs there, 293 are brand new. That includes both new in terms of music, as well as text. And these are drawn from a number of different Christian traditions, Catholic, other Protestant churches, and also from a number of hymnals that are considered ecumenical, as well as the Taizé tradition. And, you know, we've already kind of heard that the earliest Anabaptist movement music was pretty much all in unison. So those that decided that it was appropriate to sing to the glory of God, that they still pretty much could agree that it should be unison at that point. But four-part harmony became quite popular, especially in the American Anabaptist tradition, through the influence of the English, what became in the 19th century, the English gospel tradition. So 58% of the songs are going to be four-part, which is great for us because we enjoy the four-part as well. But a good chunk, almost a third, are in unison. And then there are 11% that fall in the so-called other category. There are three types of song that are incorporated, that will be incorporated into Voices Together. What they describe as songs we know and love. So those be the ones that are already in the Blue Hymnal, or Sing the Journey, or Sing the Story. The first one that I played as the kind of prelude or service today, My Life Flows On, that's one of them, right? So it's something that we know not only because it's part of our faith tradition, but it's also incorporated into our hymnal. And then the second song that I play, This Little Light of Mine, is something that in many cases, at least in the North American context, the community, right, the body of Anabaptist believers is probably familiar with. This is also familiar to a lot of folks as a camp song, right, a Christian camp song. So songs the community knows and loves, and that's the example, This Little Light of Mine. And our theme song for this month, Summoned by the God Who Made Us, is one that's new, although the tune is actually one that's going to be familiar. And we already explored the five verses of the text, but this time what we're going to do is follow along with four verses of the text, the first four verses, and listen to an instrumental version. I should say that this was written, the text was written by a Benedictine sister named Dolores Duffner, who is not that far from Wisconsin. She lives in the community of St. Benedict, just north of St. Cloud, Minnesota. And she's a Catholic sister who is a very, very, very prominent person, not only as a lyricist, but also as a composer. And she's got a master's degree in liturgy, and she's a number of her compositions, original compositions, as well as the lyrics that she's written set to familiar tunes, are things that are used by Christians across denominations. So it's Dolores Duffner. So now we'll listen and follow along with the words of these first four verses. So again, we'll just kind of reflect on the meaning, but then appreciate also. Thank you. recognize that as come thou fount of every blessing. And just the last verse here, to, by way of closing this reflection today, draw together at one table all the human family. Shape a circle ever wider and a people ever free. Let us bring the gifts that differ and in splendid, varied ways, sing a new church into being, one in faith and love and praise. Amen. All right, let's move into a time of prayer. And actually, I didn't put it on a slide. I'll go back to screen sharing in a moment when we have the sending. But if you happen to have your blue hymnal handy, you can open up to 720, but you don't need it. Just simply, when I pause, this is something that we've used, the prayer we used a number of times before. Say, Lord, hear our prayer. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere, for our denomination and our congregation, for faithfulness and strength to persevere in righteousness. We pray for the whole people of God. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the commonwealth of our global community. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, and for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who endure trials, and for those who are dying, and for those who mourn. We pray for all who need comfort and hope. Lord, hear our prayer. You have heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest in the comfort of your care as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now before we share some fellowship time together, I'm just going to give you one more slide, which is going to be our closing, and then we'll read this together. This is the sending. And listen to one more brief instrumental excerpt of Summoned by the God Who Made Us. Ever-present God, in Christ Jesus, you never leave or forsake us. Teach us to be faithful to your call, to persevere in commitment, and beyond all else, to know strength and joy of being near to you. In the name of our Savior. Amen.